Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy, Hector, and Larita podcast. We'd like to let you know that we have an extra bonus subscriber only episode that's available now every Monday. If you go to thlpod.com or Acast Plus, you can find out how to subscribe.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Before we start, because I'm after driving for 3 hours.
No, start.
You were all preparing in the hotels this morning and looking at your stuff.
I just got off the bus and got here.
Yeah, we're just starting the hot.
But you were writing stuff on the bus.
This is all gold.
You don't need to write anything.
I didn't have a chance to write
It's at school.
Are we good to start?
It is school. You know I like research. And I like effort.
And one, two, three.
I do I do like research. People have to research.
Yes, will you? Jesus.
No, because I'm after driving 3 hours. You got the bus and Tommy's walked out of his hotel and straight in here. It's all right for you guys.
How is the bus, Larita?
Every time I get the bus, I swear I'm never getting the bus again.
As a friend of mine said one time, the bus is for losers.
Yeah, and there was two fellas behind me and they decided to put on deodorant as the bus was taking off.
That's a real Mayo.
We're going to Dublin. They're from Dublin and they're like, give me something to smell a bit nice there, will you?
And he's putting on fucking deodorant and I'm like, they weren't wearing masks. They were fucking putting on deodorant. Next thing they put on their radio or their music. I love this song. Anyway, where you hear this song? I love it. And then putting on songs. Honestly, some woman turned around eventually. We all don't need to listen to your music. Would you mind turning it down, please?
I've noticed that there's a fair amount of dubs on the streets of Belfast these days.
What's that about?
I don't know, but I'm not surprised to hear those accents coming down.
And then they said, he goes, I better ring me granny, right? He rings the granny, he goes, Granny, I'm going back up to Dublin after we pick up our money. We're going back up again for the night, he says. And we'll be down then there on Friday. It's going up. So they came down to get their...
Hang on, the house insurance is up.
Are they ringing you now? Did you just get a call for 12 o'clock?
It's that time of year again. It fucking always comes at Christmas, doesn't it? Excuse me, I'll just turn this off. Take that, that's Georgia.
Thanks, Hector. That's nice of you to join us, Hector.
All right, there you go. 1 second. See, it's all right for you guys. I'm just after...
Why is it all right for us, guys?
I'm after hopping out of the car. I'm after coming from Galway. I had to put €19 to pay for an hour's parking in this posh part of Dublin. So I'm all
right. Why didn't you get the bus, Hector?
Huh?
That's the reason I got the bus.
The last time I got a bus was at Tommy Tiernan. When we left Galway, I had a puppy in a box called Chonky and we were sitting down the back.
Chonky's a nav name for hash.
Chonk. Have you any chonk?
Chonky.
Remember Chonky the puppy? And me and Tommy had no cars and we were sitting down the back of the bus, straggled.
We're heading
two fucking losers heading off on the bus.
I did tell you that. I said to Trina when I get in the door that evening, Tommy, after about 6 hours, the changeover in Athlone, all the way to Kinney's Gad, all the
Harry's
way through
Kinney Gad.
Harry and Kinney Gad. When you get to Kinney Gad, you were happy. Yeah. I said to Trina, I said, Mum, when will I ever learn how to drive and have a car? And she said, sit down there, son. I have a lovely dinner for you now. And she said, all good things come to those who wait.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Well, now, you were sorry that you got the...
Two things.
Much cheaper to get the bus.
Two things.
You'd wonder what they were doing, Tommy, there. They were getting the bus down to get their dole, obviously.
I think are they getting the dole in Dublin and then travelling back up to Belfast
to spend it. Oh yeah, because he was telling the granny that he was on the beer for a couple of days and that they were just taking a break today to go and get the other fella's money. So it was
Is there something
unpleasant.
Is there something wrong with me?
I don't know that, Tommy.
Because I've noticed, is it my clothes? As you can tell, I'm wearing a full length coat again.
I'm fascinated.
He's wearing a coat again, do you know?
I'm fascinated by seeing his chin for the first time.
Hector,
in years.
Do you know what a coat again is?
It looks like something out of the field.
It looks like it's the board. The board, the lunatic, is it? Where are you going? Where are you doing? Go on the board. Did you see the gobstopper now in your mouth or something? It could be, yes, it's from the field. Is it one of the actual garments used in the field? Did you buy it? Oh, Jesus. I was on the bat the one night with John Hurt
and it's his
and we woke up frizz in a ditch. And I said, I have no clothes.
Give me
he
that.
He said, throw that on you.
No, hang on. Let's ask Tommy. And for all our audience, you know Tommy does like nice apparel. Tommy, where was it made? And was it handcrafted by Tweed from the butt of a mountain in Clonakilty?
It's put together by the pubes of,
of fairies.
Of West of Ireland virgins.
Oh, lovely. Did well to make a full coat again out of it.
Strange. You've a strange fashion sense, Tommy.
I do, yeah. No, it's a full length...
it's a cardigan. It's a jacket cardigan,
it's a cardigan that goes down to my knees. But it's.
But it looks like a jacket.
For people who wouldn't know, it looks like a coat. For people who wouldn't know, you could be confused to think, is it a dressing gown or a coat?
And it's an oversized.
I was ordering room service and I was wearing it in the room. And the fella came in, who are you, Tommy? Jesus, are you going in or staying out?
It looks like it's an oversized one as well.
I haven't had a good look at it yet.
No, but my feet. Is there something? Because I've. And the reason I'm asking you is there something wrong with me? Because. The past, I say, 8 or 9 times I've gone into a shop, these fucking tool bags are coming to me. Are you all right? As if, like, do I look mentally fucking unwell or something?
Maybe.
Are you all right? This fella today, I went into a shop today. This fucking tool bag. I was in it 6 inches.
Right.
And this fucker comes up to me. He says, are you all right? I said, yeah. I'm just going to browse around. He goes, well, knock yourself out.
I think they just asked.
Grab his head and fucking whop it off the wall. So I'll fucking knock you out, you overzealous sales tramp.
But it wasn't like a sweet shop.
This comes up to me today and wishes me a happy Christmas.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm upstairs in a posh shop.
Well, that's what happens when you go to a posh shop.
Like a fucking bullet to me. Are you all right? I said, yeah. He goes, happy Christmas. Well, I took him and I thrown him down the fucking escalator. And I said, happy Christmas, that you fucking tramp.
There's a little bit, yeah. You're not even in the shop before they're off to you. Can I help you? No,
yeah, let me look.
Let me get in and have a goo.
You almost think like they're watching you in case you're going to steal something.
I was walking along the street in Galway yesterday and I'm so happy to be back in the land and the city of the tribes, and it was wet, it was miserable, it was cold, but it was nice. It was Galway nice. And this man came up behind me and said, do you love your morning pints? And I turned. And I, what a thing to say to him.
Yeah.
And he said,
was he inviting you for one?
He said to me, I love that podcast. I love that podcast. Morning Porter. And he sort of watched away.
What's the story, Morning Porter? Yeah.
And he said, my name is Pat. And
I'm an alcoholic. I go for Morning Porter every morning.
And he had a beard and he looked a little bit bedraggled and beskaggled and a bit bohemian and a bit of an artist, bit of a Galway head.
Yeah.
And I said to him, Pat, and he goes, I sent you in a letter there about 6 months ago. And I said, the word is lunner that I got from Monken, because I love lunner when a morning pint puts lunner on you, which is the way the sun glistens off the water. And I said, oh, I remember that. And he said, yeah, and I was listening to the podcast another morning. I stopped in Rochford Bridge for one morning pint because of ye. And he is the artist in residence now in Inishere.
That's right. I know the man. He's at the moment.
A really sound man learning Irish.
He's moved from Dublin to Lewisburg in the county of Mayo. He's Pat the Tramp. And he's out in Inishere as the artist in residence.
Yes. Did we meet him when we were out there?
Man. And I said, well, Gael Gagat. And he went, well, Tomig Fowlum. I said, no, be bored. Ta Gael Gagat. And then he opened up with this lovely Irish. He was so proud to be speaking it. And he went, you know what? I think I'll go for a pint. And I couldn't go with him. But I said, the next time I see you, Pat, we will lie in for a glistening pint of Guinness.
See, if you travel by public transport, that's one of the advantages. You can say, stop the bus and pull into Tubbercurry for a pint and then wait for the next bus.
So if we do go, go on our next big excursion, which will be.
We'll never go anywhere. We're full of
talk.
We won't
even go for
anything.
We won't even go for a drink together. We won't even
go to Navan for. You're going to spend Christmas with me and Tommy in a bungalow in Navan.
Oh God!
And with no tree.
Sounds awful.
No, and we're going to go back. We're going to try and recreate 1982, and it's going to be no heat. It's going to be damp, and there's going to be Connect Four, and there's going to be nothing.
Noel Edmonds on the telly.
Right, so let's recreate Navan in 1982.
We won't get a chance now.
The heating will only come on for half an hour between 9 and 9:30.
Oh God, that sounds awful.
Do you remember young ones that were beautiful when you were a teenager? Won't they always be beautiful in your mind? Even when you see them when they're older. I remember coming back to Navan. This would have been the winter of 1986. And I popped into Tierney's shop. On the corner there beside Lockie's pub, and I went in there and there was a very, very beautiful, her name was Sarah Cahill. She lived up near St. Pat's, and I remember I was about 15 and she would have been about 16, and I remember looking at her going, you are one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life, and half afraid to talk to her,
right,
because she was so gorgeous. And whatever happens to that person's life as they get older and all the trials and tribulations and the worries and the heartache and the sorrow and the joy, they always exist in your mind as somebody fucking, like,
yes,
mind-stoppingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And is it amazing that you can, that when you can look at a 16-year-old girl and go, I don't think I've ever seen anything as perfect as your face.
Tommy, you have a beautiful way of describing
the females. Yeah.
No, but he really does have a draw for females.
I know what you're saying. I do. And I'd be walking around
articulating
Dublin.
Articulating it as opposed to a draw for them. He's a great draw for everything female.
I was walking here to the podcast this morning in the wonderful Avondale Studios on Baggot Street, and I saw this beautiful young black girl. She would have been about 23 or 24. And I just felt like going up to her and saying to her, Jesus, Mother of God, you're the finest thing I have seen in about 72 hours.
And 72 hours.
And no matter what happens in your life, you've lifted me now into a place where I know that fucking beauty exists.
Tommy, I think you should stop wearing the cardigan there. What's it called? The coat again. And just go back to normal.
I stepped in and she stepped out again.
You're getting awful.
I fell in love with a girl around 16 when I was the lead 17. I was the lead singer of Edith Bessex at the time. And
it was famous band in Ireland.
Well, in Navan.
Was it Marlene?
No, it was Carol, her name was. And she was from...
But Marlene was beautiful as well.
She was near where the Cahills lived. Do you know what I liked about her? She was boisterous and beautiful and rebel. And she was just
feisty
and mad. And she had a great personality. And I really found her... she was just fucking as mad as I was at that time, and I used to sneak the way into the back of the house and nobody would know.
Of her house?
Yeah, and I'd meet her in the garage.
She knew
the extension.
You liked her?
Yeah,
I thought it was just in
No, we were going out with each other, but would shift each other in the extension of our house in this sort of a utility type garage, flat roofed place up against the wall, and they were the most magnificent 10
for
or 15
ages.
There was 10 or 15 minutes of great shifting and fondling and pushing and dragging and pulling and opening and sips
closing
and closing and walls
and whispers
and whispers and gotta go, have to go, stop, who's that, what's that, and then I would
and
escape
mouth water.
I would,
loads of mouth water,
and then I'd escape back home
and nobody knew,
and I was the adrenaline would be pushing through my body as I got back to Knockumber past the travellers' caravans, and I'd get into the bungalow that you'll be staying in. But as you say, I'll never forget her and the time I went out with her, because it was brilliant.
See, girls age a bit better, like, and they hold their beauty. Like, yeah, there's lads that I would have went to school with.
They don't really, in fairness.
Well, some of them do. They've a better way of maintaining it than men. Nothing worse than seeing
not
a lad
recognising somebody dead about 20 years later.
Yeah. Ard Lohanlon has a great line about Russian women. He said they're beautiful up to the age of 29 and then they turn into potatoes.
Happens to Irish men.
So
there's loads of lads that you'd be mad about when you were in like 16, 15, 16, 17 age, and you'd see them now and they're sort of fat and bald.
Let themselves go.
Not all of them now.
I remember beautiful women in Navan that I would have been afraid to talk to.
and that I never talked to and never had the guts to say to them, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember Siobhan Feely from Stack Allen.
Everyone's getting a name check today. Siobhan
was genetically...
No, Larita, Siobhan was 10 out of 10.
Was Siobhan out of your league, though?
Siobhan out of my league completely.
Oh, completely. I wouldn't even be in the 10 yards in the shopping centre. I'd be just standing there like a gun.
She didn't even know you existed.
No,
like.
I was plagued by sad women.
Oh, right. They wanted you to give them a laugh, did you?
But like, we would never have the confidence to go up and say, you are absolutely beautiful. You are one of the most beautiful girls in the town. I've never seen anyone like you.
Why didn't you send someone up to ask her to shift
if you're the
you?
Most beautiful girl in Navan, you may be sure you're the most beautiful girl in Meath, and you can be sure you're one of the most beautiful girls. Every town, in every age group, has three or four genetically perfect, synchronised...
fifth years.
They're just beautiful.
Leave inserts.
Yeah. Well, I would never have told Siobhan that I thought she was gorgeous, or Sarah.
Oh, would you never want to shift them? Like, would you never got your friend to ask her friend?
Oh, no, they were well out of our league.
Well out of our league.
Oh, so there was never cross contamination with you at all.
We amalgamated and ran around the same gang. There was a common.
Did you ever even get chatting to them? Like,
she wouldn't have to say to them, your heart would be beating out through your mouth.
The good looking lads would always grow.
Oh, and at them.
The good looking lads. There would always be the good looking lads. Wasn't that?
And they'd always be attracted to strange fellas. Like Sharon Sheridan. My God, the milkman's daughter. One of the most beautiful.
Oh, Larita.
She was made of milk. Larita. Head to toe.
She was like Actimel. She was Actimel. She was Danone in a bottle.
She was
strawberry flavoured.
She was
a milkshake.
Oh, you couldn't breathe when you were near her.
Right. Blue eyes and blonde hair and a Mead accent.
Yeah.
It was like silky blue Milky Way skin.
It was like meat and health.
I'd love to see her now.
Here she comes, health.
Why can't we go back to a nightclub just for one night to meet everyone for one more time and just say, who are you? Because you won't recognise
them. But you'd still be afraid to tell them they were beautiful.
Is there any
you'd
boy,
be still afraid to shift them now if
was,
you saw them.
Was there
well,
any,
I'm married, I wouldn't be able to.
No, I know, I understand if you were
it's
married.
It's not about shifting them. It's about, like, my thing about beauty now is...
Marity says I won't be able to.
No, my thing about beauty now is when you see somebody beautiful, is it's not a predatory horn energy you have. It's just you just want to stop and kind of...
What, rub their face?
Yeah.
Tommy, like, inappropriate. Just touch
their skin.
An appreciation.
There's no need for that.
Did you have any boys...
No, hang on, Hector. My missus, a stunning red-headed lady, and she would say when she toured with the Chieftains for many years, you know what I mean, and all over the world and stuff like that, and she would talk with me in different parts of the world. And in Italy, now, a lot of women would say Italian men are a bit gropey and a bit kind of socially aggressive with the eyes in them and stuff like that. But she would talk about how you could walk as a beautiful redheaded woman in her, you know, late 20s and early 30s, you could walk down past a bunch of Italian men and they'd fucking clap.
Stop.
If they thought you were beautiful, they'd just fucking... And I'm going to try that now. Every time I see a good looking woman...
No, you need a few people. You should be a...
Tommy, you would look crazy if you just do it by yourself.
You'd be arrested, wouldn't you? You'd be...
The man in the...
But people are so... It's strange what people find offensive now. Like, and I don't pay a fierce amount of attention to the news and I don't... So I don't really... So you might get a bit of information from the world and it's new to you.
Yeah.
And you're not sure. Just has everybody been talking about this for the past...
Yes.
So I just found out yesterday that a new young punk band called Girl Band... have changed their name and it's released a statement saying because there's four fellas and so we've changed our name to GILLA band and we want to apologise to anybody who found our name offensive and who was hurt by the fact that we were four fellas called Girl, but they called it gender appropriation. So in terms, given that that's the climate now, that people are just have lost all confidence in their fun-loving minds.
Mm.
You'd wonder if myself and Hector were walking down...
Shop Street,
and we saw some beautiful young lady and we just started...
Is there badness in that?
No, but the problem is, first of all, it would be okay maybe... Okay, so if it was you and Hector, people would know who you were. But if it was just two ordinary fellas that people did... Not ordinary, you're
you'd
ordinary
be thrown
as well,
by it,
but I just mean fellas that you didn't know.
And could we start chanting?
Yeah.
You're so fucking gorgeous, so you are. You're so gorgeous, so you are. You're so gorgeous, you're so gorgeous. You're so gorgeous, yes you are. You're so gorgeous, yes you are.
Right, well,
and
maybe.
She knows it, and she knows it, and she knows it, yes she does. And she knows it, yes she does.
Right, well, you should try it out and see how you
go. I tell you what we'll do, Lisa. Myself and Hector will record that, and you should have that as your alarm.
My ringtone.
Your alarm.
There's a thin line now between giving a compliment and then not
and
being...
And harassing.
Yes, but maybe like, the second verse of the song might be a step
It shouldn't
too far.
Be like that. It shouldn't be like that. Of course, the wolf whistles and have a look at this and the lads in the building site with that stereotypical thing that's gone, long gone, hopefully. But women should feel confident and happy and able to take a compliment in a coffee shop or on the side of a street or in a bar. Shouldn't they? What do you think?
I mean, you know...
What would you think of a guy who comes up to you goes, I know you don't know me, but I think you're beautiful.
I'd be like, well, you go away from around me. You're disgusting. And then if he was good looking, I'd say,
okay.
And then if he was good looking, I'd probably be like, oh, and what's your name?
Depends. You see, you're doing initial. You see, you're doing it again.
And then,
Narita.
Of course, he'd be fucking gone again because he'd be like, wouldn't expect you to say that to him. So then he'd be all like, oh, I'm just going over here again. I was only messing. So let's try it. Let's try it.
So you're saying that if you met, so the man comes over with confidence. And
no, so say I'm up at the coffee shop, right, getting a coffee.
11
and some
o'clock
fella,
in the morning.
Yeah, comes over and says, oh, you're so gorgeous. I'd be like, are you okay? I'd be like, all right, thanks very much. See you.
What the fuck?
You'd be looking at them going, are you okay? Like,
yeah.
You know?
So how do men let you know that they find you beautiful? Not men that you know, but men that you don't know.
Right.
They smile at you, do they? Is it lingering eye contact? And
maybe.
Is it a wink? Is it a smile in the car park as you're reversing in or out?
It could be. Or a little. But it doesn't really happen anymore, does it? Like,
it does.
You don't walk down the street. Like, you wouldn't walk down the street. You. I don't mean you. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Easy
would
now.
You walk down. Like, if I saw
Tommy
a really good looking fellow walking down the street, I wouldn't be like, oh, hello. You know, you just see them.
Okay.
What would you do? Like, I mean, what would you expect that would be okay to do?
I would just, if I saw somebody beautiful, I would like to let them know that I found them beautiful.
But what? You wouldn't say hello. You'd be like, oh, you're really gorgeous.
No, I wouldn't say it. But, and it's not, like I said, it's not, I have sexual energy for
But this
my,
isn't about sexual
you know,
energy.
What I'm saying is I have sexual energy for my wife.
Yes, I get that.
I like...
We get that, Tommy.
I mean, can you say this? He says, I love riding her. Can you say that?
Of course you can, Tommy.
Can.
Yeah.
And you love folding her and hugging her and riding her.
Yeah, yeah, and listening to her. I love her.
Jesus Christ, go on.
But when I see that beautiful girl that I saw, and I'm 52 for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
This young one is, excuse me?
Yeah, exactly.
this young one was only about 22, 24.
She would think that you're a complete and utter fucking weirdo.
But I wouldn't say, I don't say it to her. I don't say you're gorgeous.
Well, you're just like this.
It's in his mind.
But I just want to, I looked at this girl and she's waiting for a bus and I thought, my goodness.
Maybe we could get you some stickers and you could just give them out as you're walking past. If you think someone's good looking,
Let's go back to this whole thing of contact and conversation and not feeling creepy about stuff because we've been moulded and shaped like this. It's just not right.
Should you tell, like, no more than beautiful women? Right. Like,
what's wrong with going up to
Should you go up to fairly rough looking women and let them know?
Jesus,
you're not looking too great today.
I can't put my finger on it.
Did you sleep in a ditch?
What about going up to you? You know what? You're not a good looking woman.
You're not a good.
You're no oil painting, but you know what?
Yeah.
Would you go for a pint?
You're no oil painting. You're no oil painting, but I think you're a bit of crack.
I don't know.
Like, I look up to really posh looking women in the makeup department in Brown Thomas and say, you're fighting a losing battle there, love.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
It's a nest of vipers we should leave behind.
No, I don't
behind.
Think it's a nest of vipers. I think it's something nice, but Tommy's just evoking the spirit of a 16-year-old Tommy walking
just
around.
Just the beautiful, like I said, the girls that I thought were beautiful when they were 14 and 15 and 16 and I was the same age, I always, for the rest of their lives, I think they're beautiful.
Well, that's because you don't see them.
Until you check them out on Facebook.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't do that.
But tell me, some of them might have carried the looks and some of them might not have.
But that's not the point.
The image is in your head.
It's kind of like once you go to school with somebody, right, no matter what they do in the rest of their lives, you know that they're good people. You know there's a good person in there. So if you go to, especially primary school, once you've been from junior infants to sixth class with somebody, no matter what they get in, what kind of trouble they get into in the rest of their lives, you can see the goodness in them.
Yeah. If they were good at school. If they were nice, like.
No.
I mean, if they were nice at school. If they were all fucking bullies and bitches and all that.
Sure. Well, I can't think of anybody that was nice. I can't think of anybody that was like that in my school in St. Oliver Plunkett's.
No, not in national school. I don't think I ever did either.
So you can see the goodness in them, you know. I was thinking about, say, a school reunion, you know, because I saw this woman today, and she looked like a fella that I went to school with. And I was just wondering,
Jesus Christ, you're after doing what Hector told us to do the other day. He told you to open your eyes. Open your mind. Now you can't stop seeing it.
Now you can't stop seeing stuff, which I like.
So I came out of the hotel this morning, and I'm very aware that I live an awful, privileged, soft life. But it's the path of no resistance that I walk, and it's just led me to hotels. I walked out of the hotel this morning, and there was a woman across the road, and she was the fucking spitting image of a fella that I had gone to school with.
Did you go over and tell her, ask her, was she him?
But then I started thinking, can you imagine if we had a school reunion? Mm-hmm. So it'd be all fellas in their age 51 to 53. I wonder, would a few of them not come because they were women now?
Oh yeah, I was going to say maybe it was him.
Yeah, maybe it could well have been him, you know. And then I started thinking about when people change. I don't know what to say. They change gender, or they reveal their real gender, or they whatever the name for the transition thing, and they choose a name.
Yeah,
they never choose names like fucking Bridget or Mary or Margaret, Sandra,
Margaret
or Betty.
They choose Priscilla.
How do you know? Like, go on. How do you know any of them that chose names that were like?
No, but no one ever said. You never. It'd be unusual to go to school with somebody.
Well, he was Dermot in first year,
and now he's Noreen. Like it's always like Cassandra or fucking
Priscilla.
Yeah, it's never.
What was your man? The one that is your man Frank? Which is the boxing promoter?
Oh, he was on the show. Frank Maloney. He was on the chat show.
Frank Maloney.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He's
what
now. I don't know what is he. Francis Maloney.
No, he was on the chat show, and
yes.
He walked on.
Go on.
She walked on, and I had no idea for the first 5 minutes that person used to identify as a man. I thought she's a small, powerful-looking woman from Belmullet. That's what
Jesus Christ!
That's what she looked like. Right. She's about 5'4", built like a fucking stable door.
And you didn't
small, squat, fast, powerful. You know, could have been women's rugby. I said, "Who's this strange, powerful-looking woman?" And then I was talking to her for about, and I, oh fuck. Used to be the boxing promoter. Now I know who you are.
Wow.
Tell me
this.
Yeah,
but I wonder, would they actually go?
What else did you see? What else have you seen?
Well, I've just ideas that struck me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This morning, what does the phrase "the repentance of sin" mean to you?
To repent your sins?
Yeah, would it have any meaning in your, like, are you aware of of sins you've committed? Like, because we all grew up Catholic and we all got... A friend of mine rode a young one from China one time.
Right. This is going in a confessional box, is it?
And he said the great thing about riding her was that they have no concept of sin.
All right.
So he said she had no... There was something... She didn't say it explicitly, but he said there was something about being with her that even though we both knew it was a one night stand and that kind of stuff, that there was no sense of shame or that we were doing something dirty or doing
something... Would it be guilt, like?
Or guilt, yeah. She had none of that. So so that's because they wouldn't carry that thing in their culture.
Yes,
so we are reared with that notion of sin. And
we're surrounded by guilt, yeah.
Getting fucking 8-year-olds to write down their sins for their when they're getting ready for their first Holy Communion and stuff like that. So it's kind of ingrained. And the whole... Christian tradition, the whole Hebrew tradition is there's a concept of sin and the forgiveness of sins, and that's the culture we've grown up with. And I'm just curious with I have a sense of sins. I don't know if that's the right word, but I definitely have a sense of is sin even the right word,
or
is it shame, or is
it's
it
definitely
mistakes?
I think there's always a bit of guilt left on you as opposed to a sin.
Okay, but is the reason you feel guilt
is because you've done something wrong?
Yeah, is it guilt because it's you think it's a sin and you feel guilty about doing it?
Yeah,
I haven't thought that.
Or
in
a sin,
years.
Maybe not. Maybe just it wasn't the right thing to do. Would it be classified as a sin?
I think it's more I've done a bad thing or that wasn't nice what I've done. Harm, bad intention, not hurting
upset somebody.
Yeah. I was. It's not evil, it's too strong a word.
Evil is very strong.
I've done an evil thing. He used all the toilet paper in the utility. I've done an evil thing. I forgot to get this. No, I think the whole thing of confession
and guilt.
Tape
and wrap it around a kitten's mouth.
And throw it in the septic tank.
That's evil.
That's what we used to do.
No, break you didn't. That's evil. You wouldn't stop.
Break
that's
the necks
awful.
Of the kittens and throw them within the septic tank to stop the anti. My father would say, that'll stop the bacteria now. Give me that kitten. Straight into the septic tank. This was before hole masters and all these boys.
Septic cats.
But that's what they did back in the day. You never ask your father about that.
What if my father wouldn't do such
a
thing?
But that was an evil act. So I believe now in karma. I don't hurt anybody and I don't hurt any animals. Having said that, committing sins is a thing. I don't know, Tommy, for me, confessions and repenting, the repentance of sin. I think that, I don't know. I'm just trying to lead that, honest.
To do no harm.
Do no harm, create no harm and be nice. And that karma comes back. So when is the last time you committed a sin?
Or went to confession.
Or felt guilty about something.
I went to confession the morning of my wedding.
Yes.
Which was...
I was there with you.
12 years ago.
I was there with you and I drove you to the church.
Why did you feel like you... Did you just do it?
Because it's a tradition. You go to confession the morning you get married.
I sat in the pew behind him and in he went. He was in there for 19 minutes and 27 seconds.
I was very disappointed. I thought the priest would be a bit more shocked at the stuff I was saying. But he's bored.
The priest has heard it all before.
That was the last time I was at confession.
But this is a country church and a country priest, and I was bringing fucking metropolitan sins to him, and he was just whatever.
I was walking the Edinburgh Festival, and Tommy was. That was the last time I was ever in it. What about you? Have you ever been? Have you been confession lately? Is it something you do?
I haven't been to confession for a long time. I used to go at Christmas or something, but like I haven't been there for a long, long time. Probably.
I do.
People go to therapists now instead of confession. When you're travelling in Eastern Europe, and there's Poland now has a very strong Catholicism, and places like Serbia and the whole Eastern Europe, they can be a kind of a heavy Orthodox.
Yeah.
Did you get, what's your sense of that? Like, did you pop into any of the churches or?
No, but there is that. I know I'm going to meet some Orthodox churchmen on my visit. I was there in Siberia.
The phenomenal beards. Best fucking beards.
Amazing churches and amazing rules and amazing just versions of mass that we have. But I haven't done
dramatic
any.
Mass.
Are they Orthodox Catholics? Is there such a thing?
Orthodox Christians.
The Russian Orthodox Church and stuff like that.
The men stand on the right side of the church.
Loves it. I fucking love
candles
it.
Candles lighting. Women on the left side in Siberia, men on the right side of the church. Amazing. But
used to be like that. Years ago in Ireland, wasn't it?
Was it?
Women on the left, and there's a women's side and a men's side in our
church.
You'd
be wondering then in a small rural church in Ireland at 7 o'clock in the evening on a Wednesday evening when confessions are being heard. I used to love reading about that and trying to go through that in mass. I'd read all about the thing in St Mary's and then be all the parish notes, then there'd be the Golf Society outing, but then they'd say Confessions, Wednesday, 7 to 8, St Mary's. You wonder who's going in there now and are they a dying breed?
It's morning confessions now. They're 11 o'clock in the morning. I popped into a church in Cork a few years ago and I was doing a gig in City Limits, which is a great comedy club down there. If those walls could talk, they'd get me into trouble.
Confessions then.
Churches are beautiful, you know, especially when they're kind of half empty, you know. So I went into this church anyway, and there was these two Polish boys, fucking steamed rightly up, lighting candles. Either that or they're trying to burn the fucking place down. But there were two of them were fucking falling and lighting candles, having the crack. And I was sitting there, and my gig was at 9:30, and this was about 7:45, and I was just sitting there looking around. And next thing, this priest comes out of the fucking sacristy. And there's only about four people in the church, and he says, comes over to me, says, "How are you?" I says, "Hello there." And he says, "Mass starts at 8, but it'll be a fairly lame affair, to be honest with you."
I did not
do it. Yeah.
It'll be a fairly lame affair, to isn't be honest.
And isn't it funny the way the 55 minute mass has been whittled down to 35 minutes when we were younger? Now it's probably down to 20 minutes. Get them in and get out because we don't want to interrupt the rest of the day. It's funny the way mass has been carved like a beaver, carving, eating, gnawing away at the back.
If mass is too nice, it's not interesting. You need fucking darkness and tension.
We used to have a great priest in Lama, Father Dez, because the first time we went in there, and I brought the lads religiously as they were through national school, we went to mass, especially when they did the first Holy Communion, and then they did their confirmation, and we went to mass as a sense of community. But this priest called Father Dez in Laca would go, "Jesus!
Father!
Jesus!" And I'd be elbowing my young lads and we'd be trying to stop laughing just like I was as a kid, and I knew that we were laughing, and Dipna would get so embarrassed, she'd be there, she'd give me the eyes, you know, the wife eyes, you know, would you stop it, and the two of us, they'd be each side of me, I could see them shaking with laughter. Jesus. But he told me a great thing, and he's retired now, and he stood on the altar in Laca, and I did a show because of what he said to me, and it was one of the last times I was ever in a church apart from funerals. He picked up the keys just after communion, and this is about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and he went, "Cullarn Church is closing now, there's no mass there, and there's only one mass in that church, so we're all coming to this church because priests are things of the past. In a couple of years' time, and actually when I go in about a year's time, hands up who wants the keys, because you can take it over, because we're a dying breed."
Yeah, but we don't need priests. We don't fucking need them. I think that what
do they do now?
I think fucking Catholicism should be deregulated the same way they deregulated the fucking taxi drivers and all that type of shit. I think any man or woman who wants to can be able to stand up in any room in the country and say mass if they want. You don't have to be wearing black and putting on a fucking soutane and after spending 7 years in Maynooth with the first year lady art students trying to ride you. You can just, I should be able to stand up in a fucking room and say, right, I'll say, man, I'll be the priest today. You should do it. Loretta can do it.
I agree.
We don't need fucking priests.
But when will that change, Tommy? Because we're importing them now from all over the world.
Don't need priests.
But they're a dying breed, so the churches are
closing. But there's a reason there's a dying breed. The reason there's a dying breed is because it's not an attractive life for people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the drama has gone out of the mass. The mass has turned into this fucking nicey fucking shite folk festival.
And they they have to read every page, like on the same mass every day of the year. They don't know what's going to be on the next page when they turn it.
How
like,
are
every
numbers
day.
In your parish church in a small village?
Well, I was selling flags, hats, and headbands outside the church on Sunday morning, and we thought that we'd get a big crowd. You know, after mass, there was about 10 cars at mass, like on a Sunday morning, prime time mass, like 11 o'clock mass.
But it is an interesting thing that it is coming to a, I agree with you completely, Tommy, it should be open.
Deregulated.
What kind of mass would you focus on for mass? Like what would be your big thing about?
Just drama. Just as two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there with you. So you can't have mass by yourself. So what I would do is I'd pick a bit of the Bible and I'd have a bit of bread and it'd be about community. About me saying to in the same way that sometimes with your friends you talk about really serious stuff, it'd be an opportunity in public to talk about love and to talk about death
and to have a bit of bread and a glass of wine, and at the end of it to say good luck, shall we see again some other time,
to have a good week.
The way, just like a group, like
the way in the fucking 1700s and 1800s there was no really priests, because the English banned masses, fellas would go to a rock. You go to a rock and there's mass rocks in the fucking Slieve Lucre, and there's mass rocks in the hills outside Tippin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anybody can say mass at any stage. It doesn't need... The Catholic Church is all about hierarchy and power, and they're getting in the way between people and their ideas of God. And we don't fucking need it at all.
Well,
I have something more important to talk about.
Just, can we stay
I have something
on this?
More important to talk
hang
about.
On.
Talking
but
even about
the way Tommy has broken down the Bible at some beautiful moments on this podcast has given me a new perception of the holy book.
Yes, I have another one for you for the Bible now.
And the other thing I want to say.
Adam and Eve were fucking chimpanzees.
Huh?
Then it makes sense, doesn't it? Adam and Eve were fucking chimpanzees.
Right.
That's why they were happy. And then on the transition from chimpanzees into people, they developed a conscience, and that's when the fucking, that's when we were thrown out of the Garden of Eden.
No.
I've got something more important to talk to you
right.
about. More, much more important.
Go on.
My father's going to be 80 in 3 weeks.
The Lord bless Kevin. What'll a I, mighty man.
Are you going to have a party for
what'll,
him?
What'll I get him?
Well, we should.
A massage.
An Indian head
in the
massage.
Side place that I get.
He should
what
be allowed.
Like my father's going to be 80.
Does he like drinking?
Oh, he's Guinness.
Whiskey, does
he's
he
a
like
Guinness
whiskey?
Man.
I went into a fancy drink shop. I thought, well, because he'd been nervous of the COVID.
Right.
Do you know? I went into a fancy drink shop and I said, my father's going to be 80. Do you have anything here that was bottled in 1941?
Yeah.
The year of his birth.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Isn't a nice present?
Yeah. Did you get it?
I don't know if my father would
drink
it.
It was a bottle of Pernod Black.
It was kind of a cognac-y brandy.
Oh.
It might be like cough syrup, but I was thinking...
Baby Sham or something.
What, could you get the paper from 1941, the front cover? No? Could you get him a picture of a Chagask supervisor
from 1941?
1941.
Could a 1941 car.
Could you get him a picture of a farm where he was on 19... Well, no, can you get a picture of him when he was a boy? When he was born. Can you get something of a six-year-old...
Who the fuck was taking photographs of babies when they were born in 1941?
Chronicle.
Fucking Hitler was rampaging over Europe. Kevin Tiernan was born.
Can you get the front cover of the Chronicle in 1941?
Well, he's an Athlone man.
Can you get front cover of the Athlone Gazette?
The Westmeath Herald or whatever it's called.
Why don't you just say to him, Dad, you're 80 years of age... I'll meet you at 11 o'clock in the local and we're going to sink four of the finest pints and not say a word to each other.
Oh, that might be...
And I'll come in then at about 12 and say we'll have one for the road.
We'll have crips.
He's 80 years of age. He's
80 years of age, yeah. So,
you're going to have a party for him?
I don't know, because I think he'd be nervous at the party with the COVID. It's an awful shame, you know, when I have... of a brother and sister in New Zealand, they'll hardly make it back for that, you know. And if we arrived, if the gallivant of my brood arrived in the house, he'd be, you know, I'd be bringing six children and a grandchild and a wife, and it might be put him on the back foot a bit, and he'd be
So let's just think about that for a second, because 10 years of age, your dad was in Athlone, was he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
20 years of age, where was your dad?
He was in London.
Wow, what was he working at?
He was courting my mother, I think. So my father left school and then went to UCD to study agriculture. And then he...
Very posh.
I think he...
Very posh.
He ended up in London and then he was in...
And 30, where was he?
30, he was in Africa.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And at 40...
Athlone, London, Africa.
Unbelievable. 40, Tommy.
I know
40,
what
he was in... he would have been in Navan. He's been in Navan since.
In the height of the Chagas agriculture.
You should get him a map of all the places he's been.
I don't think that would interest him. Do you know? I think
he's a simple man.
Yeah, I think
just to drop a bottle of whiskey in a couple of... Does he like smoking cigars?
I asked the people in the shop, could you get me a bottle of whiskey from 1941? And they said, absolutely not.
Not unless you pay €25,000 or something for something.
Maybe a bottle of wine.
What about getting five of his good buddies and just saying, lads, the five pints of Guinness this morning is on me. Have them there when he arrives into the pub. I know the pub we're talking about. It could be a quiet little morning pint. And organise three or four of his mates to be there and let them sit amongst brothers and sit with chat.
Yeah, I have to do something. So it's in about 3 weeks.
Wow, Kevin is 80.
Yeah.
Does he like any kind of like...
That's a great age.
Like any kind of presents, like a watch or anything, or
He's impossible to. I'm impossible Judge. To buy for because I buy myself everything.
Yes.
He's impossible to buy for because he doesn't want anything.
Right. Do you know what I mean? You probably wouldn't even want it then if you gave it to him.
I get him a coat again.
Tommy, what does he...
You can give him that.
I've often wondered about what your dad thinks of what you've done.
Oh, he never comes to a show. Or,
I told you about the time done over the years.
I told you about the time he drove to Dingle to not come to the show.
Why did he
tell you that story? I must have fucking told you this.
No.
I was doing a show in Dingle. So my father drove from Navan to Dingle. I was playing in the...
Was it like one of your first
ones? The Hilltop Hotel, I think it's called, in a fucking a wild spot. A fucking lively, wild, boisterous spot. And the Hillview. And my father drove down from Navan to Dingle. Took up residency in a pub in the town. The barman gets talking to him. Well, where are you from yourself? And the father goes, I'm from Navan. And the barman goes, and I found out this story because I met him afterwards, and the fucking barman told me this story. And he says, you're from Navan? Oh, yeah, there's a, you're not the only Navan man in town tonight. And my father goes, who else is here? And the barber goes, oh, Tommy Tierra has played at the Hillview Hotel. And my father goes, never heard of him.
Pint of Guinness, please. That'd be Kevin, wouldn't it?
Fucking rascal.
Oh.
A fucking
so he never
rascal.
Went to any show you ever did?
And over no. the years, the late lates and all the stuff and all the bits and all the... Oh,
I sure told you the story about the first time he ever cursed on the Late Late Show. And he phoned up afterwards, whereas Tommy's in the shower, we'll tell him to wash his fucking mouth out.
I often think of what your dad... Sometimes I think about my dad...
He would have been so proud of you, Hector.
Yeah, you know what? Because he went a long, long time ago. I often wonder. And then I've been wondering about other things as well. Am I going to be that, for me as a dad to my young lads, I am doing so much, I'm trying to be as good as I can for my kids. It's mad, isn't it?
When you say as good as you can, what do you mean?
Maybe things that I've seen when I was a young lad and the way alcohol affected my dad and stuff. I don't want that to affect me and my care of my kids, and
yeah.
I want to show them so much
and
love.
And that's why when you won the county title, you only had 9 pints.
Yeah, and
I'm not having any more. And well, it's a bad example.
It's funny now that the two boys are raving about Coors Light now.
Yeah,
they're young men, they're raving about Coors Light. Dad, they love Coors Light. So the whole lot of us are on Coors Light. But no, it's just like it's funny that it's. I often think about me dad because he's gone 30 years plus, and I often think about what he would have thought about my gallivanting, and that's why I ask you about Kevin. About and then your dad and all you've done and with the hospice and all the work you've done and now with this podcast, does your dad have an understanding of what you're doing now with the podcast, or does he say it to you?
Yeah, he does. He has an iPad, and like he'd go into the house someday. I went in the other day, was watching Michael Bublé in concerts, right? And then
I'd bring him straight back to the hospital. the
medication there.
And then I rang him. I says, what are you at? I'm watching a programme here about the outback in Australia. He said, I found it on Netflix on the iPad. Like he finds things like randomly. Yeah. Like he doesn't know how to use it or anything. And he says to me, how would I ever come across the podcast on the iPad?
I was very
close to it there one day and I couldn't
I got
get
close.
It. And I says to him, oh no, I said, it wouldn't be anything for your scene anyway. I said, you probably wouldn't like it that much. I said, and then I said to him, I'll find it for you one of the days there. Sure, leave it at it. I'll find it for you.
That's class. So, I love that.
Yeah, he knows, but he does and he doesn't.
Would he ever have intimate chats with you?
Like what?
Like, would he ever speak from the heart? Or is it just, did he come from a generation where that wasn't really part of their vocabulary? Do you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
I suppose in a way I didn't really, you know, he wouldn't be an emotional man or anything like that until my mother died. And then after that, then he was like, you know, reflecting and upset and all of that. So, but like he wouldn't be overly like, he wouldn't be telling you he loves you or anything, or he wouldn't be, you know, going down that route. He'd be more... It'd be just in his actions, I suppose, more than his words and how he behaved.
You can tell somebody you loved them by making them a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or just be nice. Like,
or
just
smile when you open the door.
Yeah. Or he'd be
delighted
always thanking
to see
you.
Delighted
for
to see you.
Doing
yeah.
things for him and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Or he'd be saying to you now, oh, geez, I've your heart's broken to you. You have to do everything for me now and I hate this. And, you know, all that sort of stuff. But he wouldn't be kind of like, oh, I love you. Or
yeah.
Would Kevin would Kevin as your
the
dad,
L-word.
Would
did he ever drop the L-bomb?
I must have told you that story.
Did he ever drop the L-bomb?
I must have told you that story.
About him what?
About myself. I was about 21 And yeah. I got myself and the father got steamed down the old bridge inn, and the two of us were walking up in an unlit country lane. The only lights would be from passing by sitting rooms that hadn't gone to bed yet.
Yeah.
Do you know? But them houses would be 20 or 30 feet back off the road. So up this windy old country road after drinking about it. And he was teaching me how to drink. You have to leave, when you drink a pint, you have to drink it in four goes.
Right.
So there's three rings left. That's you only go at the pint four times and you should be fucking delivered and done. And he's a great man for drinking porter.
Oh, loves it.
And we were walking back up and I was just starting to do a bit of acting and I was just getting into me emotions and I was reading all this fucking, you'd be reading plays where people say things to their fathers and you'd be thinking, you should say it to my father. And the two of us were steamed and walking back up and I just said, I love you. And he says, yeah, sure, why wouldn't you?
The dry nabbing.
Yeah, that's the end.
Dry nabbing.
Why wouldn't you?
But he always had that little lovely turn of phrase, didn't he?
Draw. Oh, yeah.
That nabbing drawl.
Yeah. Sure, why wouldn't you? God Everybody. Bless, good luck, and we'll see you down the road.
Good luck.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.